God is alive and powerful, a sharp and two-edged sword, piercing to divide in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman, and does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening to the doctrine of patience. Speaking of patience, spiritual advancement is not an overnight success story. It is a commitment of the individual believer to the principle of NPR and the assimilation of the truth of Bible doctrine in its various parts as revealed in the scripture. Maturity comes through tenure and time, over time, in understanding and gapping Bible doctrine, building a frame of reference, and applying it in your Christian life. This is how you reach maturity. It's not this raw thing that you see out there in the funding world and that preachers like to drum up in regards to their sermons and things of this nature. It is continuous and steady, steadfast, diligence, due diligence in regards to assembly of ourselves together for dissemination of God's Word, and to consistently and appropriately always isolate the STA necessary to assimilate God's Word, first and foremost, purely apart from distortion of sin nature, and to facilitate then its application, which altogether, this is what provides true spirituality and true spiritual matriculation in the plan of God and service to God with honor. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound as necessary as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the grace and longevity of your plan for our lives on behalf of Positive Volition. And we ask once again, you bless our Positive Volition this evening, enlightening us to the truth of Bible doctrine via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here the issue of patience we are bringing out as we just read in 2 Peter that God has the characteristic of patience expressed towards men and the importance of this virtue as it applies to both God and man. Roman numeral 1, you have introduction and vocabulary here. A, patience or being patient is a virtue of will. It's something that you have to resolve to be or do, or ability to endure without complaint. The whiner is not patient. The whiny child or individual who's constantly complaining about things is not exhibiting the virtue of patience and waiting with respect to the timing of things in their life. Being patient has the ability to do these things without complaining. Continuing point A, it requires perseverance while maintaining composure and performing a task, not getting all bent out of shape. Composure denoting one's appearance, one's facial expressions, things of this nature. People don't always have to verbally say things for you to be able to read their minds what they're thinking otherwise. So maintain composure when you're doing things, persevering, being forbearing in these things. Continuing patience calmly tolerates delay, unexpected delays, obviously, confusion, pain, trouble, others, things that might interfere or disrupt in regards to one's initial plans, hopes, desires, things of this nature, etc. Often persevering under less than moral or righteous conditions. Patience refuses to be provoked by others, to be out in Satan's world, on the job, at school, things of this nature. Obviously requires the adjusted believer to exercise patience in the face of others who otherwise are being programmed not only by technology and TV, but often peers and parents, etc., and family, to go after things in life, to not let anything stand in their way. They totally exempt God being part of the equation of what they want and pursue in life. And they are sitting there and wondering why you are not after running after these things like they are. I believe we read that somewhere in Peter. The pursuing things and why you're not running under your STA and enduring in these things. And patience, being filled with God the Holy Spirit, overruling the STA, waiting upon God, is not going to be provoked or intimidated to react otherwise, and to yourself become impatient and plug in energy to the flesh in place of what God's plan stipulates otherwise for your life. B, here in the vocabulary, in the Hebrew, you have three words here. First one, arek, means long, slow, patience, used two times. In that vein, Ecclesiastes 7:8. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. In impatient pursuit of energy of the flesh, I'm going to fix it. We're not talking about application of doctrine here. We're talking about going after things and lunging and pursuing the details of life, relationships, and things of this nature is a form of arrogance, a form of pride. And people who generally are perfectionists in life often exude this type of characteristic and personality. But true humility comes in regards to patience. Then Jeremiah 15:15 is other used in that vein. You do know, O Lord, or who knows, O Lord, remember me, take notice of me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake I endure reproach. Jeremiah, in his beseeching of God, regards to his prayers, first and foremost, does not take revenge actions into his own hands. He wants God to intercede on his behalf. Often God knows better how to deal with the corrupt elements of society than even man does. And sometimes, even though men may let things slide or people seem to get away, one thing they never get away from, that's God ultimately dealing with them. And Jeremiah's prayer is regards to him being patient, looking at the fact of God's grace towards him and his own perfections in this respect. And to, you know, remove him before life, etc., before his ministry's over, as it was threatened by negative volition around him, etc. And it is because of his own podulation and tenacity of fulfilling his ministry that he endures what the world throws at him, and faith rests otherwise for God to intercede on his behalf. Two, next word is cool, C-H-U-L, means wait patiently. It's used in Psalm 37:7. Psalm of David, his exhortation is rest in the Lord as a combination of being still, being quiet, calm, and wait patiently for him. We call that exercise of application of doctrine, faith rest. And that's what it means. Faith rest is that you remain calm and quiet within in regards to the situation, totally assured in your own thinking, recognizing that God is there and is not forsaking you. and will intercede on your behalf as necessary. And we are to wait patiently for him in anticipation, a longing desire, obviously, for him to intercede on our behalf, but knowing that his timing is perfect. And it's all for the benefit of Poly Volition, especially as it's aimed at their eternal niche. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't worry about what man can do to the body. Believers have been persecuted, tormented, attacked throughout history. Unbelievable acts of criminal activity has been brought upon believers. But they're not going to get away with it ultimately. All will answer. And one must recognize that even our very own persons are a physical substance. And what's truly important in regards to God as well as our own life is our soul and human spirit. That is what exists for all eternity. And those things that we carry with it, Bible doctrine, and the record of application of Bible doctrine in fellowship, our divine good production, is that which will ultimately vindicate each and every one of us, no matter what we may face in this life, physically, emotionally, mentally, otherwise. And then our final word here in the Hebrew, kawah. Kawah. That's what it sounds like. Kawah. Means to wait for, waited patiently for. The whining. All right. I'll not make the Comedy Central, I understand. It's only because I have a ministry. Psalm 40, verse 1. Again, another Psalm of David. And David obviously had plenty of opportunity to exercise patience, even though he fell miserably in other parts of his life in exercising patience, like Bathsheba. He was impatient on that case. Then it brought about a whole different set of circumstances in his life. Some things we do in life and occur to us in life are, if you will, life-changing. And it's up to the individual believer whether they're going to adjust to that or, you know, maladjust in this regard. And David, obviously, he had many enemies. He, in spite of his weaknesses and failures, was positive and stood for the plan of God as the king of Israel. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. That's quite a mouthful. A Bible doctrine that just came out of that man's mouth. Waited patiently on God, in spite of his weaknesses, in spite of his troubles, in spite of his tests, knowing that God ultimately exalts those who are righteous, those who are positive in this respect. And God can take circumstances, and as dire as they may initially seem, turn around and make something really great in regards to one's life and circumstance. Now, my study today, the thought came upon me how different tests and suffering in life is when one can expect a great ending to it. What you will endure, knowing that at the end, the persecution or the test or the suffering is going to result in something spectacular in regards to your life. And all of a sudden, you know, it softens the blow. It lessens the height of agony or whatever else one might be going, knowing that, you know, this thing will indeed result in such a great and wonderful way. And that's the way it will be for Poly Volition, that hang in there in regards to all that they face in the cosmos and antagonism to their stand for Bible doctrine and all that brings upon us. Let's see. The world and its way of life that is in contradiction to the adjusted believer's life and penalizes them because of it. C, we're not talking about deserved, we're talking about undeserved suffering there, by the way. C, then in the Greek, one, you have the verb makru, dumeo. It's used 9 times. It means to persevere, to be patient, have patience, patiently waited, emphasizes patience towards others. Being patient while I read this long note. Patience. I use it to know God's patience. I'm just full of it. It's used Luke 18:7. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? 2 Peter 3:9, we just saw in regards to God, and it's used in parabolic teaching in James 5:7b. Behold, the farmer waits for fresh produce to sow, being patient about it until it gets to early and late rains. God, in regards to his patience, as this word is used with respect to God, the teaching, etc. And here, the church age dispensation, that the pouring out of Bible doctrine has its proper result in regards to this dispensational time in history. For believers and positive volition. 2, the noun makruthumia, it's used 14 times, translated patience, long suffering. 3, the adverb makrothumos, used 1 time in Acts 26:3. Paul here before King Agrippa, beseeching the king to give him ear and to listen to what he has to say seriously. When somebody asks you to be patient in regards to explaining something to them, it's another way of saying, listen to this intently and with all serious measure, because what I have to say is very important. You may not understand it all right at the beginning, but give me time to express myself and express my thoughts. And this is how it's used there, especially because you are an expert in all customs questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg to you to listen to me patiently. So, 4, the verb hupomeno, it's used 16 times, means to stay behind, to await, endure with patience, perseveres. This verb emphasizes patience towards circumstances, situations. Circumstances in life. It's used of Christ as an example of steadfastness or patient enduring. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Obviously, the perfect example of patience. Application of patience, as well as discernment, when patience is not the answer, and rebuke or whatever may be the proper application. So the right balance, we can look at Christ for that example, and he is a perfect example of patience, especially to the situations of his life. King of the Jews, didn't even have a home over his head during his ministry. The legitimate king of Israel did not even have a home over his head during his ministry. But he wasn't whining about it and complaining about it. He knew his kingdom and his castle would come eventually. And it's going to far outdo anything that man can obviously provide, especially in the auspices of the new heavens, new Jerusalem, etc. 5, then you have the noun hupomone, cognate to hupomeno. It's used 31 times, translated endurance, patient, perseverance, and steadfastness. 2, patience is an anthropopathism to describe God. By anthropopathism, we mean that we ascribe to God certain characteristics or virtues in an emotional, psychological way. And patience is that in regards to God. And it describes God's waiting and not bringing judgment and cutting everybody off at the shorts before the appropriate time. That's what it means. In that regards, holding back wrath to the unbeliever. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, God's kindness, of forbearance and patience? Expressions, all expressions of his divine love. Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to a change of mind. How God interacts with individuals is all designed to provide them with opportunity to get their spiritual act together. But just remember that patience is not inexhaustible. One of these days, the time will end. And what you've done, you've done. And you will live with it for all eternity. Romans 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? The amazing aspect of regard to God is that he knows who's positive and negative, but it does not withhold him from exercising patience even to those he knows is negative and will not believe. He still gives them time, the opportunity. Now that's fairness if I've ever heard of it. 1 Peter 3:20, as we just read, or as we read back in 1 Peter, 2 Peter there for a second, 3:20 there, in regards to the flood, who once were disobedient, the demons, the infiltration of the certain demons, the pre-Diluvian race, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Again, God could have just come in and just saw how they were coming at any time. You know, he's God. He could have wiped them out. But no, he still gave him time and grace. See, to if anyone was going to be positive, to, you know, manifest that. And obviously, correlates with that is the time he gave Noah to make application of Bible doctrine in the midst of all this. It ultimately benefited Noah, even though it was there for the benefit for all his patience. Then our verse, as we just read, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, and not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a changing mind. So B, he's patient in the sense of an eschatological waiting over the elect. Luke 18:7-8. We read verse 7 earlier. I tell you that he will, verse 8, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In response to the teaching aid of God being patient under righteousness with respect to the elect. And then James 4:7. Probably 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. Be impatient about it until it gets early in late rains. See, patient with respect to applying grace to the believer. We read Jeremiah 15:15 in regards to Jeremiah. Be patient towards him as he struggled with all the testings and persecutions and sufferings in his life. Roman numeral 3, patience is the principle of positive volition at God consciousness. Romans 2:7. Verse 6, every man according to his works, to those who by perseverance, as our term, patience towards circumstances. Monē, in the Greek. In doing good, salvation and judgment. Good work, literally. Seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. So Roman numeral 4, here we combine patience with the principle of gap, the grace apparatus for perception, the assimilation of Bible doctrine. That Bible doctrine via the filling of the Holy Spirit produces patience. Galatians 5:22. Noting that is one of the virtues. The filling of God, the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. Staying in fellowship, obviously, is essential to maintain patience. Colossians 1:9-11. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the true knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. Patience is necessary to persevere in the Christian walk and to hold to the end. There the patience emphasizes patience towards people. B, it is essential in our tests in regards to our spiritual advance, obviously, which tests are part of. Romans 15:4-5. Bible doctrine, its importance for whatever was written in earlier times, was written for our instruction, reference back to the Old Testament scriptures, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, look at patience, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. So Bible doctrine gives us those aspects of God's plan that's designed to help us be patient, such as prophecy and knowing what our eternal destiny is going to result in if we hang in there with it. SG3, all these things. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, the sin, the SCA in this regard, which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance requires patience to build one's stamina physically, to run a race demands practice, working out, proper protocol in regards to being the top in one's field. And as it is in regards to our Christian life, to have patience demands that we establish our disciplines necessary, our working out regimen, if you will, MPR, isolation of sin nature, make sure that we're having the proper spiritual nourishment, and we're nourished by the proper things, not running just on sugar, but it's a healthy body that performs the feat, and all the other aspects in regards to living the Christian life and being and producing endurance, therefore, overall. And just like it is in working out, especially if you haven't for a while, you have to start off light and you work your way back into it. God doesn't cripple you before you get there. D, it is a virtue developed by testing. C, it designates a category of listener to Bible doctrine. The positive individual, intent on learning God's plan, gives doctrine time to sink in and have its full impact. Luke 8:15. That's brought out in the parable of the sower. The final category of soil is those who are positive. And the seed is put in the good soil. Obviously, it takes time for that seed to germinate and grow up and be a full mature plant and produce through correlating crop or fruit or whatever it is designed to produce. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance or patience. I've seen those kind of people that jump in and their arrogance overrides their spiritual blindness. He's not teaching fast enough. He's not giving me enough information to keep me interested. Well, you're an idiot. Why don't you just explain to me everything that my pastor just taught you in that hour? And watch him go, oh, 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 oh. I've seen that. Not only run it back to me, explain to me how this is supposed to apply in your Christian life. Some people just think that a doctrine is nothing but information to fill up your little brain computer with, and it has really no practical application. Well, if that's the case, we might as well just go home and get a thesaurus, a biblical thesaurus, and just learn all the words. Or memorize your Bible and don't worry about it. D, further, is a virtue developed by testing. That's James 1:3. Testing helps build our endurance, our patience in life. Going through, if you will, the ringer of testing builds character. And a good quality of character is one who is patient, not the impatient types. It's a sign of maturity. Impatience is a sign of immaturity. Always run out and pursue things. Can't wait upon God. You've got to do it yourself. Parents ought to be embarrassed for promoting their children and doing these very things in their life, especially those on doctrine. You should be exhorting them, wait upon God. Pray about it. And if they won't listen to it, say, well, you can pursue it on your own when you're out of the house, not while you're living here. unbelievable how parents will, support their children to pursue the cosmos. Well, I'm hoping to find what I want here in this little place. Yeah, let's just cut God off the shores. Let's just rob him of his attributes in life. See, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense in regard to the way some people think. Not to me, doctrinally speaking. Testing develops our virtue of patience. James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You're given doctrine for a reason. That's to take it and apply it in your Christian life. To utilize it. To incorporate it into your mode of thinking and decisions and actions and that you engage in life, and that what you do or say in life also in this regard. Some people, it's like they walk out of Bible class and they just leave the doctrine behind them and go off, just do their thing. See. He eventually brings about maturity. It eventuates in maturity. That's verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect, complete looks at rising to the status of spiritual maturity. 5, patience is part of the indwelling of Christ. That's Bible doctrine in us. Christ in you. That's a doctrine in your soul. 2 Peter, we saw 2 Peter 1:6. And in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, patience, and your perseverance, godliness, that all stems from being in fellowship, pursuing knowledge, true understanding of God's Word. Roman numeral 6, some examples we can appeal to in regards to patience, obviously, as we brought out earlier, A, Christ Himself. We saw 2 Thessalonians 3:5, also 2 Peter 3:15. In regard to patience of our Lord to salvation. The patience that He had endured in regards to His own life to secure salvation. The patience He continues to exude as He waits upon the proper time to overrule evil life and call in everybody to cash in their chips. B, Old Testament saints, positive saints in general. Hebrews 6:12. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Full assurance of Bible doctrine is our hope, see, to the end. In regards to the fact God's not going to forget your work, what you engage in divine good production, it will be accredited to your account and you'll be amply rewarded, etc. And verse 12, that you may not be sluggish, procrastinators, unzealous, deadbeats spiritually in regards to application of Bible doctrine, to claim you're run down or whatever, too tired to apply doctrine, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith, that's inhale faith, and patience, that's where they exhaled it, application of it, waiting upon the return of their investment, inherit the promises, SG3. See, and we have many examples in the Old Testament in that regard. See, Job obviously is a good example of one who exercised patience. takes us to circumstances and situations that otherwise he didn't bring upon himself. Wasn't anything that he did wrong. Wasn't, you know, a course of divine discipline, and you said patiently endure the pain because you know you deserve it. You know, Job's test in life came about based on, as we know, Satan's appeal to God, and God setting him up ready to manifest what positive volition is made of through his servant Job. And don't think, you know, you look at Job and you go, yeah, I don't think I'd like to go through that. But don't think don't be despairing in regards to Job. I guarantee you, it's all coming back to him. It came back to him in time, but it's also going to come back to him in eternity in an unbelievable way. Now, we look at what happened to him here, and we get to phase three, and we see his rewards in eternity and his position in God's plan. In phase three, you're going to look at that and go, that was worth it. Obviously, the harder, the tougher the testing is, the greater the reward would be for those who can deal with it appropriately before God. And James speaks of Job's patience in this regard in 5:11. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance and patience of Job, yet, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The Abraham as an example of grace afforded in patience. Being patient, waiting upon God, allows him to provide for you the grace package he has in store for you as you wait on him, rather than going off under the energy of flesh and pursuing things on your own, letting God bring these things about. Hebrews 6:15. Verse 13, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you, making nations out of this one individual, a whole new race. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. He didn't get to see it in time. He got to see a little bit of his offspring. But nothing compared to what the full magnitude of the covenant entailed, that it comes about in his eternal state completely, knowing that he would be amply honored by God in God's promise to him. So when God makes promises in the Bible that pertain to us as believers, we are to wait upon God to fulfill that promise. Failure to do so otherwise is nothing more than Operation SCA and Energy of the Flesh. Paul, an exhortation to pastor teachers, 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. Paul, in regards his own life, he's able to then be an example to others, such as Timothy is a trustworthy statement, verse 15, deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. One part of the New Testament, Paul refers to himself as greatest of believers. And here, he says he's the worst of sinners. That's Paul for you. And his action of sinning was, he used to kill believers for a living. Persecute the hell out of them. But beyond that, he was arrogant. He was religious. And denied Christ. But God's grace was there for him. And you can imagine the Christians praying up to God in precatory times. Oh God, kill this guy Saul. Get him off our back. Man, he's doing nothing but causing hardship to us. Wait a second. He's going to be your 12th apostle. I can't do that. See, often you don't know. But anyway, Paul, in regards to exhortation here to Timothy, and yet for this reason I obtained or found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul ultimately was positive. And obviously, he's a perfect example of the genius of God waiting for Paul to come about so he can utilize him as he, in the ranks of apostles, definitely ranks up there with them for all he endured for the sake of Christ and in his ministry. So, obviously, God interceded in regards to Paul, Saul, to be Paul's life. And it is through God that his positive volition came forth. It wasn't anybody sitting there witnessing to him, trying to win him to Jesus. But believers otherwise, in proper application towards him, wouldn't have gave him any excuse to hate him any worse, you know, than he did previous. Just food for thought. 2 Timothy 3.10. That's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3.10. You followed my teaching, Timothy. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. These all go hand in hand. Such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered. Seeing him, obviously, would be encouragement to Timothy as a pastor in his ministry. See how God delivered Paul. If he's in the same boat, same situations, which often occurs, even though maybe not always exactly the same way, a similar test. And you see how God delivers others. And you draw off of that. He can do the same for me if I keep my spiritual act together. Paul to the royal family. 2 Corinthians 6:6. In regards to believers' responsibilities in regards to God and his plan. Again, Paul is an example of all the things he went through. Verse 5, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labor, sleeplessness, and hunger, impurity and knowledge, impatience, and kindness of the Holy Spirit, and genuine love, and the word of truth, and power of God, by the way, with righteousness for the right hand and the left. All these things are part of the Christian life. Impatience is part of it. The exhortation to hang in there and to endure no matter what the world may throw at you and what God permits. Yeah, he allows it. But ultimately, he will take care of it. And he will ultimately always deliver. We are examples set forth to the cosmos of what positive volition those who love and serve God are about in this vein. Wonder why, you know, God doesn't just cut history off and all those people, you know, save people from dying, going to hell. You know, people ask questions like that sometimes. Well, if he did, then he just cut off the shorts of people otherwise going to be positive. That would serve him and love him and have an eternal blessing relationship with him. The whole principle points to the fact that life is superior over death. Life is superior over death. And God is all about life. And the death, that's Satan and his domain, it takes care of itself. But he's about life. And he will not hold back. He will not pull any string that's necessary on behalf of those who want life to ensure that they have that. And that includes the history of mankind. Again, that's part of the angelic conflict, part of the resolution and what it proves. God is superior over Satan. Life is superior over death. So just one of those little tidbits that come to you sometimes when you're actually thinking in fellowship. And half a bottle of tequila. G? No, I'm just kidding. Even though I could still be in fellowship with you. I've been known to be fellowship after half a bottle. Is that one drink over? 2 Corinthians 6:6 in 12:12. Neon lines, not anything else. Got myself. 12:12. The signs of the true apostle were performed among you with all patience by signs and wonders and miracles. As examples. And then G, again, we have Old Testament prophets. We saw Job, James, as well as other Old Testament prophets. An example, brother, of suffering and patience, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. All the crap they had to face in rejection, antagonism to Bible doctrine as communicators of God's Word, telling Israel how messed up they were, how God was getting ready to hammer them, and nobody wanted to hear that. So, often, if not most of the time, that was the prophet's message when they came out in Israel. It is not good tidings, it is bad tidings if you don't get your act together. So. Alright, Roman numeral 7 then deals with specific categories that should have patience. And we'll pick this up Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name.